Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 368, Dry Bones Come Alive. Guest minister Elizabeth Frauhager delivered this message on Sunday, April 28th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Good morning. That's much better. Blessings, blessings. It is an honor to bring you the word of the Lord this morning. It is a good day to be alive. Amen. Joyful and thankful attitudes this morning. Amen. Welcome to those of you watching on YouTube and Facebook. We bless you in the name of the Lord. We are thankful that you are joining us today. So, yes, buckle up. It's going to be a powerful message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, let us just pray. Father God, we just thank you. We are so grateful, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. Jesus, be glorified today. Holy Spirit, have your way in this service. This is your service. This is your church. Come through in a powerful way for your glory and for your kingdom. We give you the service in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says, amen and amen. So for those of you that are note takers, get your notes out and ready because this is going to be some note-taking kind of sermon. And I got some props up here. And later on, I'm going to ask some of you to join me. And I didn't distribute them now because I don't want the people that is helping me making all kind of rattling noises. So here we go. Are you all ready for a ride? Ready. Amen. God is good. All the time and all the time, God is good. God is good. He is a faithful God. We serve a mighty God. So I'm going to bring the word of the Lord from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 37. So go with me to Ezekiel 37, 1. I will be reading from the New King James Translation. And those of you at home, just because you're at home doesn't mean you can't get your Bibles out. So I'm watching you. So get your Bibles out and let's read together the word of the Lord from Ezekiel. And as we were worshiping, we were already prophesying for the dry bones to come alive. And that's what I titled my message this morning, Dry Bones Come Alive. So let's go read Ezekiel 37:1. And it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. So this is a picture of the valley that we'll be putting up here shortly. As the Lord took Ezekiel, and it says it took him in the spirit. So it was not in the natural, it was like a vision, right? And he placed him in a valley of dry bones. And if we can get that picture up there, ladies, I'd appreciate that. Yes, thank you. And so here is Ezekiel caught up in the spirit, and the Lord has taken him to a valley of dry bones. As you can see this picture, thank you, ladies, it is a place that looks hopeless and dead. And Ezekiel was placed in that place. God took him to this situation. This represents the nation of Israel. A big, massive army, right? It was a big, massive army. They came out of Egypt, right? And then we had Joshua, and the walls of Jericho came down, and then they took the land. And then we have Gideon and the mighty 300, right? And then we have Samson and King David. So it was a very strong and mighty army. That no one wanted to mess with that, right? No one wants to mess with a strong army. But they lost their focus. And they got their eyes off of God and focused on themselves. So their consequences of their sin and their idolatry led them to a valley of dry bones. And this is where we're at here with Ezekiel. Now, I don't know if this morning, where you find yourself at. I don't know the situation that you are dealing with, that you are facing. I don't know what type of dried bone valley you are facing this morning. A situation that steals your peace, and it steals your joy. You know, as you look at your life and as you're sitting there, already picturing the situation you are going through, because I know your minds are working, and seeing yourself in a place of dry bones, in a place that is death. Maybe your child or your children were walking with the Lord at one time, and now they're way out there in the world, not serving the Lord. Maybe that is you. Maybe your children are lost and you are just praying to the Lord to bring them back. You're praying that the Lord will show up in the night in a vision, in a dream, and they have a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus, and they will come back. We're praying there are prodigal sons or daughters will come home in Jesus' name. Maybe it's a brother or a sister or a family member. Just sit there at in your chairs and think about the people in your life that are so far and so gone from the Lord. Maybe you're the only one in your family that's walking with the Lord, and that you have your whole family that are lost, and you're standing in the gap for them, and you're praying to the Lord for them to bring them salvation, deliverance, to bring in healing, wholeness. Maybe you're sitting in the sanctuary, or maybe watching on YouTube or Facebook, and your marriage is in shambles. Maybe you're sitting there today and you're asking the Lord to restore that relationship, that marriage. Maybe you were married and then you came to the Lord later on, and your husband or your wife still not walking with the Lord. And you're seeing this circumstance that seems hopeless. And you're telling the Lord, Father, I am doing what I can do. I am sitting in a relationship that it looks like this, dry bones. It's not bringing life. I'm walking with you, Lord, but my spouse, my husband, or my wife, they don't know you, Lord, and they need you. So maybe that is you. And you need the Lord to restore your relationship, your marriage relationship. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, no, Elizabeth, my children are walking with the Lord. My whole family is serving the Lord. My marriage is alive and well. But I'm struggling to pay my bills. You have a pile of bills at home that are calling you to write that check to pay them off. But your bank account is dry. It's dry as this valley of dry bones. And you need finances. You need the Lord to touch you, to bring maybe a job into your midst. And let me ask you, because Pastor Sarah just shared the offering message. Sometimes our finances look dry, like this picture here, because we are not obeying the word of the Lord. Right? We are not. The word says give, and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. So you may be sitting here and saying, my finances, my bank account is dried. And I hope that they don't cash my check, because now I'm going to have minus 35, because there is fees. If you write a check and there's nothing to back it up, right? There's consequences. That's right, Sister Gina. There's consequences. So my words to you is, are you giving so that what the Lord has spoken will take place? Because if you don't give, you're not getting any. That is the word, right? It doesn't say, let me give you and fill your vats and then you can give. No, we're doing it backwards. Some of you are saying, oh, well, Elizabeth, I can't tithe. If I tithe, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. You don't have a clue of what the word is saying, because he says, give and it'll be given to you. So we got to take a step of faith. When the Lord told Moses to part the Red Sea, he had to take a step for that to part, right? So God is asking us to take a step. If you're struggling with your finances, give, and it will be given to you. So this word is for somebody. So you want freedom in your finances? Start giving and watch the Lord work. Nowhere in the Bible it says, test me on this. This is the only one place in the Bible that the Lord says, put me to the test and watch me multiply what you give. Well, I can't afford to tithe it. And you add, do the math, like, start a little bit at a time. Start little. Be faithful. Just a little bit. Before you know it, you'll be tithed and over the tithe. Amen? God is good. Tell your neighbor, God is good. Amen. So maybe all the other things are good in your life, but you're having difficulties in your health. Maybe you got a bad report from the doctor. Maybe you're depressed and you're lacking energy and everything aches. And you're just saying, when, God, when am I going to get my healing? Maybe you're sitting there waiting for that miracle to happen in your life, that your hip will stop hurting or your headaches will go away. And you're sitting and you're depressed and you're just ready to throw in the towel because your health is not getting better. Jehovah Rapha is in the room. He's here to heal you. 1 Peter 2:24 says that you were healed, meaning that you are already healed. He paid for it at the cross. He paid for your healing. He paid for your salvation. He paid for your deliverance. He paid for it all. Jesus already done it. Maybe you are single like myself. Maybe some of you on the internet. Maybe you're single and you're thinking, I've been single for way too long. It's been 18 years. I don't think there's a man on earth that's for me. Maybe you're already starting to be weary of well-doing. But God, we served a mighty God. And today I'm here to tell you that God can breathe on those dry bones. God can breathe on that death situation. Or maybe you are already married. You're not single anymore. God gave you the breakthrough and now you have a husband and a wife. Right? Your Pastor Sarah and Pastor. Bless you, Lord. And you've been waiting for a child. You got a wife, you got your husband, but now you are waiting for that promised child that the Lord gave you. Maybe it's been 4 years, maybe it's been 5 years, maybe some of you have been longer. I'm here to testify that a pastor that I follow, him and his wife waited for 7 years. And now they have their beautiful baby. Be encouraged. God is a God of suddenly. He will do it. Amen. Even though maybe it looks like a dry bone land, God can do it. Amen. Amen. Maybe you are watching on social media and you are jobless and you said, I need a job. I've been looking. I've been filling out my application. And I just can't get a breakthrough. God is on the way. He's got the right job for you. Amen. Better than what you had before. With an increase, that's God's favor. Amen. Or maybe it's your ministry. Maybe God's giving you a vision for your ministry. And you're not seeing that come forth. It's still the same old, same old. But if God's giving you a vision, if the word of the Lord has been spoken over you and said your ministry is going to be such and such at this time, hang on to that. Hang on to that because his word does not return void. It goes out and accomplishes to what it was sent for. So wherever you are at this morning, whatever you are facing this morning, know that God is big and he's a good God. And regardless of what you're seeing, a valley of dry bones, no life in it. Regardless of the lies that the enemy is telling you, because that's how he is. He's a big liar. He's telling you, oh, well, that's never come to pass. You've been waiting for 18 years, Elizabeth. Oh, that's never going to come to pass. Your son's going further and further away from the Lord. Don't look at your current situation. Look at God. He's big. Amen? Even though you're looking at dry bones, there's a shift coming. A sudden shift, and the Lord will move on your behalf. We see others in their current state. You know, they say, oh, yeah, I'm believing for what God said to me, and I'm believing, and you tell them, they're like, that's not what I'm seeing. You're declaring and saying that your son is going to be preaching and prophesying, and they're out there playing video games and who knows what else, not following the Lord. But when the word of the Lord is spoken of a situation, you can take it to the bank. Amen. He backs it up 100%. Amen. So don't worry about what you're seeing in your circumstances. And when you see others, we are to encourage that vision. Not to say, not go along with it and say, oh yeah, well, my son is doing this and that. And like, oh yeah, he is, isn't he? No, encourage them. Say, hey, what did God said about that? Remind me what God said about that. Amen. So let's keep going on Ezekiel now. We're on Ezekiel here, and let's go back to our story. So he says, then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? The Lord asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? The Lord is asking us this morning, can these bones live? Look at a youth situation. Can these bones live? And let's take a look at what Ezekiel said. So Ezekiel answered and said, oh Lord God, you know. Ezekiel didn't say yes or no. He said, oh, Lord God, only you know. Because God sees the potential. God sees where he's taking you. God sees where he's taking your children. God sees where he's taking your marriage. God sees where he's taking your ministry. Only God knows. And Ezekiel knew that. And Ezekiel trusted the word of the Lord. Amen. God sees your potential. Tell your neighbor, God sees your potential. He does. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Hold on to Jeremiah 29:11 for your situation. Because the plans for the Lord for you are to prosper you. The plans of the Lord for your finances are to prosper you. The plans of the Lord for your marriage is to be restored and to prosper it. That's what his word says. The word of the Lord for our children and our family members is a good report. Amen? To give them hope. And to give up a future, a good future. So memorize that scripture because you can start declaring that over your children, over your situation, amen? So no matter what your valley looks like, God can turn around that situation. God is a God of suddenlies. He can turn it around just like that, amen? Just like that, you may receive a check in the mail from like an all insurance claim or something like that, and it paid your bill. Or somebody be at the grocery store and pay for your groceries. And for this church, we're a giving church. If the Lord, if the Holy Spirit prompts you to pay for somebody's groceries, jump to it. There's blessings on that. Amen. Not only will they be blessed, but you will be blessed also, because God is God on multiplication, and he will multiply it for you. And for your family. Amen. So God doesn't just see the current you. He sees where he's taking you. He sees the potential in you, in your ministry, in your kids. Maybe they're playing for some secular band, but hey, I can see them playing for the mighty church. I can see them playing up here. Amen. I can see them preaching behind this pulpit, our kids. Come on. Amen. So let's stick with the Lord, with the report of the Lord. And some of you have been in this dry valley for too long. And you just have become weary. You know how you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And other people get their promise and you're watching. They got it. I'm still waiting. They got it. 5 years passes and they got it and you're still waiting. Because you haven't seen any changes. Galatians 6:9 says, and Sister Tanya quoted it earlier, "Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in time you shall reap if you faint not." You shall reap if you faint not. Underline that. Faint not. So this is not a time to throw in the towel. Amen? It's not. It's hold on to it tighter. This is the time to hold on to what God has said over you. If God has given you a dream or a vision, or maybe someone gave you a prophetic word, which is prophetic words, what they are is the word of God. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when someone prophesies over you, it's got to be in here. Amen? Amen. So you hold on to that and believe the word of the Lord over your circumstance. So Ezekiel doesn't answer the Lord. He doesn't say yes. He doesn't say no. He says, "Oh Lord, you know." A little faith is enough for God to work with. Amen? His word says, a faith of the mustard seed. God can work with that. Ezekiel said, "I don't know, God, but you do." Ezekiel was surrendering his situation to the Lord. He was saying, "I don't know, God." Many times we think we know everything, but we don't. Many times we have opinions about everything and everything else, but we don't. We got to seek the Lord in what the Lord says about that. Ezekiel said, "I don't know, God, but you do." And I could just see him say, "I trust you," because it's a position of trusting. Like, "I don't know, you do," right? How many times are we always stepping in the way of the Lord working? Because we can handle it, we can do it. We have the answers. Instead of stepping back and say, "God, let's pray, you know, pray about it. Ask the Lord what you should do in that situation." Many of us jump and we're already doing things and it doesn't work out. "Why didn't it work out, God?" And the Lord is like, "Because you didn't ask me. You didn't ask for direction." So let's ask the Lord every step that we take. Amen? Just like Ezekiel said, "I don't know, God, but you do. And I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you." So are you trusting the Lord with your situation this morning? Can you say, "God, I trust you, and I'm kicking my hands off of it"? We need to be at that place of trusting, not just a little bit, or today I trust you, but tomorrow things got a little shaky, maybe I don't. No, we got to go, see if I can jump, both feet in. As you get older, and with heels, you know, I put both foots on the ground, amen, jumping for the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm all in with you, 100%. I trust you." Proverbs 3, 4, and 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways," tell your neighbor, "in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." See, when we acknowledge the Lord, he will say, "Elizabeth, that decision you're making, it's not good here. Go this way. Sometimes we're going around. Let me do this for a visual. Around and around the mountain. One time, he's like, did you learn anything? No. Here we go again, making the same mistakes, the same over and over again. And the Lord is like, it's time for the church to grow. It's time for the church to read my word and follow my word. What do I say? Sometimes we get all feeling, I'm feeling this, and I just feel that. Well, it's not about feelings. It's about what the word says. Oh, I'm just feeling lonely. What does the word say? Oh, I'm feeling depressed. Oh, I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that. What is the word said? We are to declare the word of the Lord over our situation. Amen. Regardless of what the naysayers say. Because some of us have some family members and some friends that like to just be naysayers. Is that the right word to say, naysayers? Yeah. They don't believe with you. So be careful what you share with people. You know? Yes, it's wisdom, Pastor Sarah. Be careful what, if they are not in agreement with you, why are you sharing your dreams, your visions, the word of the Lord that he has spoken over your kids? And they say, oh yeah, well, my son's going to be a prophet. What? He's over there playing video games all day long. That's what they would say because that's what they see. And they don't read the word of the Lord. So be careful who you share your visions, your dreams, what the Lord is saying over you and your children and your marriage. I don't know, this marriage is like, I think there's God's going to restore some marriage because I keep seeing marriage. Thank you, God. So prophesy over your situation and declare the word of the Lord. Amen? Will you believe the word of the Lord? Will you believe it over your children? Over your marriage, over your finances, over your health, over that lost family member, over that drunk in your family, I don't know what this is for, over that person that won't let go of the alcohol bottle, and you see them coming in and out, and you're like, they never will change. They haven't changed in 30 years. I don't see them changing now. Will you trust God? And say, God, I trust you. And will we do our part to declare the words of the Lord? See, we have a part to play. We are co-laborers with the Lord. Here, Ezekiel had a part to play. The Lord said, let's keep going here. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so here we go. It says, only you know. And then 37:4 says, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So Ezekiel had to prophesy to the bones. When we are co-laborers with God, there are certain things we need to begin to speak the word of the Lord over our situation. We need to prophesy to the dry and dead situation, just like Ezekiel did. We are co-laboring with God, speaking his word, so that he can do his part. Amen? Begin to speak life. Amen? So he said, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. See, Ezekiel had to prophesy to the bones, so that the Lord can come in and breathe on them and give them life. So we are partnering with God, partnering with his word, and then let the Lord do his part and breathe on our death situation and bring it to life. Amen? So we prophesy. Proverbs 18:21, and I'm going to go here because we need some help in this area. I know I do. And then you let me know, you know yourselves if you need some help in this area. But Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what we speak is either brings life or it brings death. What are we speaking? What are we speaking over our children? We have to be careful, because that's bringing life. Either we're blessing or we're cursing. Which one are we doing? In James, in the book of James 3:5, it says, even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. So our tongue is small, right, compared to the rest of the body. But it could be great danger to us and to those around us. That's what James says. The book of James is awesome. So maybe that'd be like a good book to read. Put it on your homework, dude, because it's really good. He says that the tongue is a fire. And with it, it's a little fire. And it can just burn the whole forest. It could start a little, just, you know how we got these big fire, forest fires? It all starts with just a little snippet, a little spark. Whatever we speak out of our mouths can start something that could be devastating for somebody. With our tongues, we bless people. And with our tongues, we curse people. So we need to get a hold of this, church. I know I do. And maybe some of you can just say, hey, yes, Lord, help me, Lord, in this department. I'm getting better, but there's improvement. I don't think I'm going to be perfect with my mouth until Jesus returns. I'm just telling you. Because sometimes behind that tongue is an attitude helping right along with it. Right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that I have come to bring life and more abundantly. We as Christians, sons and daughters of the Most High God, our responsibility is to speak life. It's to speak life. So be careful what we say, to who we say it, to others and ourselves. Sometimes we're our worst enemies. You get up in the morning and the Lord has blessed you with a job. And the first thing you say, oh, here's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. I don't want to go to work. There's people out there, they're just praying for the Lord to bring them a job. And then you get in your car, it's like, oh, no, I got to drive 50 minutes to work. And there's people that are asking for the Lord for a vehicle. They're walking to work, maybe taking a bicycle. And all of these blessings throughout the day, we are just cursing and cursing and cursing. By, I mean, that is speaking negative. Oh, I got to go to work. Oh, I got to drive. Oh, and here comes the train. How many of y'all complain about the train? I live in the train and it's always in my way. So now I just take advantage of it and make a video for the Lord. Right? And then I have this little, I brought some props. Some of y'all like props. I know Pastor Sarah likes props and Tanya likes props. So here's a little sign. So whatever you got to do to help yourself out in your mouth, there's a book out there called Me and My Big Mouth. I think it's by Joyce Myers. It's a good book. I think I got every book on the mouth. But anyway, I have this little plate here, a little decoration that I bought at Cracker Barrel. Who likes Cracker Barrel? I love Cracker Barrel. You can get a lot of good food for your money, right? And so this little sign says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Proverbs 16:24. And I have this on my kitchen, on my counter. And every time I'm doing dishes, and every time I'm cooking, and every time I'm there, I can see this sign to remind me, Ellie, speak kind words, sweet words to your son, Tommy. Sweet words to your granddaughters. When you're on the phone, speak sweet words. So this is one little thing that I do. I don't know what you want to do, but something that reminds you to be positive, to speak life. Amen? It's important to yourself and to others. Sometimes, I don't know why I'm seeing this, but I'm going to go with it. You have this big mirror in your bathroom. Oh, Lord, okay. You have this big mirror in your bathroom, and the first thing you step into, you say, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to repeat it. Who, you know who you are. Am I ever blah, 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 blah. And then you get on your scale. Oh, that's worse than it was yesterday. And you were just speaking stuff that doesn't line up with the word. What is the word of God says? over you and over your life. And yeah, and maybe you have to make some changes, right? Because we have to co-labor with the, you can't just say, oh, I rebuke the calories of this ho-ho or ding-dong. That's not going to work. Oh yeah, there's no calories, you know. You can declare that, but it doesn't line up with the word of God, right? Yes, my mind is blessed. We have to, what we decree and declare, it has to line up with the word of God. And you can say, oh, I can never lose this weight. But yeah, you go home and you sit in front of your television eating chips and sour cream. And gosh, what am I saying, all this? And you're eating all this and you're like, oh, my pants aren't fitting. Well, why aren't they fitting? Because you're just sitting in the couch eating more chips. And now you buy the super-sized, family-sized chips. Now because you're going to be there longer. So help us, Jesus. You know the Bible says, I buffet my body. It doesn't say I buffet my body. It says I buffet it. I bring it into submission, right? Instead of having a dozen chips, maybe I'll just have six and I'll get better at it. My big downfall is gummy bears. I love gummy bears. They're so sweet. But hey, we have to line up to the word of God. And the word of God says that my body is the living temple of the Most High God. Sometimes we need to make some changes. Some of us more than others. You want to feel better? Eat better. Exercise. Read the word. Amen. I know I'm drinking this word. It's for me. Amen. So thank you, God. Help us to speak life. And then let me say something to us leaders. If you're a leader, not just at church or at work, but if you are a leader in your home, the man is the leader of the home, amen. But if you're a single man or woman, then, okay, so the woman is the leader. We have great responsibility to speak life. As a leader of my home, or as a pastor of the congregation, your responsibility is to speak life over your congregation. You used to speak life of that difficult church member, if there's one. You are to speak life of things that are going on in the church. If you're a parent, it is your responsibility to speak life over your child or a grandparent. No, Adley, you're not stupid. You're beautiful. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. Yeah, what you did wasn't all that great. But hey, let's look at the good things that you do. Right? I mean, this child could be 5 or 6, and everything's like a great deal when you're 5 and 6, right? And they made a mistake. Or they spilled milk all over your couch or all over your carpet. And they said, oh, no, here comes grandma going to yell at me. No, it's okay, honey. It was an accident. You're beautiful. Help me clean, right? Instead of saying, oh, you no good, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what comes out of our lips. Look at this, a big old mess you made. No. Let's speak life. And let me say something to teachers. So maybe there's a teacher watching. Maybe you'll watch the replay. I went to my granddaughter's grandparents' day, and her teacher was so sweet. And I watched her as she moved around the room while she was speaking over the kids. And it was all positive. Teachers, you have a great responsibility with our kids to speak life. To speak life, even if they go to a public school. To speak positive. Amen? How about our spouse? Those of you that are married. Are you nagging on your husbands? Are you nagging on your wives? What are we doing? Oh, you left the toilet seat up again. When is he ever going to learn? 30 years married and he still leaves the toilet seat up. Or the husband's like, oh, that, when is she going to learn how to cook? Because this stuff tastes horrible. Please, Lord, teach her how to cook. So I don't know. I'm not married. What are you saying over your spouse or over your children? Help us, Lord, to do better in this area. Amen. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So we are to speak stuff that helps people Amen. To build them up. Way to go, Sister Tanya. That was a great message. Way to go, Sister Aaliyah. You're doing a great job back there. Sister Michelle, I love it. You always get the scriptures right. Encourage one another. Uplift. We need that. We need that. Doesn't it look, I love the way you do your hair, Sister Nita. You're always looking sharp, Sister. Bless you. What a great encouragement you are to others. Amen. Your smile's always shining at the church. We can find ways to lift someone up. I always hear the Holy Spirit says, Elizabeth, look at the good. Look at the good. We can find all kinds of things wrong with something. And God says, Elizabeth, you're looking at the wrong place. Look at the good. Tell your neighbor, look at the good. When you're talking to somebody, don't be behind your mind thinking, oh, their hair's out of place. Oh, no. Look at the good. What good are they doing? And speak that to them. Amen? Colossians 4:6, let your conversation, here we go. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Who likes salt? I love Himalayan salt. So that you may know how to answer everyone. It says speak with grace. I know I fall short sometimes in that. Speak grace over people. Let's do better, church. I challenge you to do better. I challenge us to speak life into circumstances, into people. You just never know what a simple encouragement word can do for someone. Yesterday, I was working on my message, and I received a text from Pastor Sarah. And it encouraged me so much. It said, Elizabeth, I know your sermon is going to be powerful. And then she began to tell me how awesome it was going to be. Oh, and they just put fire under my chair. And I was like, yes, God, yes, it's going to be powerful. See, a text could do that for someone. If the Lord drops someone in your spirit, reach out to them. Say something good. Declare the word of the Lord over them. Give them a scripture. Amen. Psalm 141:3. This psalm, I have it placed in a 3x5 card. Because really, honestly, that is my cry to the Lord. And it says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That is my prayer. That God will set a guard over our mouths and keep watch over the door of our lips. This is an area where I see the body of Christ in the church, not even outside the church. We don't even talk about the outside of the church. I work at a factory, you all. I see it all. I'm talking about the church, the saints, right? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about us. We have some work to do in this department. Amen. And I'm preaching to myself too. It's not just, mostly it's for me, and then you guys grab it if you want it, right? Speak life over our situation and believe the report of the Lord. Ezekiel believed the report of the Lord. He was in a valley of dry bones, but he told the Lord, only you know. And he said, prophesy to these bones. And speak the word of the Lord for these bones to live. Are we prophesying the word of the Lord over our situation? So you can look at your situation and write a whole list of things you can be prophesying and you can be declaring over the situation, what the word of the Lord says. Amen. I'm going to share quickly a testimony. And I don't know how much time I got. Oh, she said, don't worry about the time. I put the time. But so I'm going to share a little quick testimony. I was a very baby new Christian when this all happened. But as I was writing this message, I began to look at all of the situations that the Lord came through for me. And there were many. Little, big, many. Financially, emotionally, with my kids, with my work, with my car. I mean, so many. I'm like, Lord, which one to pick? And then I saw a little baby. So I'm going to share with you a testimony of my son, Tommy, and how the word of the Lord. as a testimony and testifying the goodness of God, and it will maybe bring life to a situation and help you just hold on to what God has given you. So I was a very new believer in the Lord, and I was pregnant with Tommy. I was 5 months pregnant. We knew it was going to be a little boy, and I wanted to name him Thomas Joseph. And at 5 months, I've had beginning to have complications in my pregnancy. And I began, one morning I got up and I'm just bleeding everywhere. Several trips to the emergency room almost every week. They had me go to a specialist and they said, this is a very difficult situation, a very dangerous situation for your child and for you, for your baby and for you. So after probably 5 emergency visits to the emergency room, on the 5th month, I got admitted all those times, but this time it was for real. And the doctors came in and gave me the doctor report. How many of you know that sometimes the report from the doctor is no good? But you can't receive that report if God's already spoken something over you and over your child. And so the report was not good. And they said that they were keeping me overnight, of course. But if by 8 o'clock in the morning, I did not stop bleeding, I had placenta previa. And I'm not going to go in detail what that all is, but it's very dangerous for my baby and for me. They said by 8 o'clock in the morning, if you don't stop bleeding, we're going in, taking out the child, and you'll never have a baby again. So they're doing all these procedures. So I had to sign all these bunch of papers. I thought I was going to buy a house. That's how many papers I had to sign. And so here I am signing these papers. And then they tell me, do you go to a church? And I say, yes. Well, what's your pastor's name? Can we call them? We need to call them. Like, why does my pastor need to call me? Like, I'm thinking, am I dying? What's going on here, right? Like, it was like an emergency. So I say, yes, I go to Sausage Church, and they call them. That very same day, one of the pastors from the worship team came, prayed with me. And then later in the evening, another pastor came, and he was a prophet. And he came and he prayed over me, and I will never forget the words that he said to me, because they were way in the spirit. And he said, Elizabeth, at that time I would go by Ellie, he said, you are a faithful woman. I was just a brand new believer. I'm like, he's already seeing the future, right? He says, you're a faithful woman. Your son will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And I say, yes. And he left. And the nurses came, and I signed papers, and I would say, oh, my son's going to live and declares the works of the Lord. And I was, the whole time, I never doubted that my son wasn't going to live. Though the nurses would come in and look at you with this weird look in their faces, and I'm like going, oh, you don't know my God. You don't know my God, right? They even moved me to the wing where the baby's already been delivered. I'm like, why are they putting me here with the little, you know, baby cradle, whatever it's called? Like, my baby, I'm not delivering this baby. He's going to live, right? So all night went through, and I just declare, and there was a nurse, a sweet nurse. They came in into the room, and she said, let me pray with you. And she actually gave me some, we're going to keep you a few more days to keep an eye on you. They did. They sent me home, hallelujah, for bed rest for like 4 weeks. I couldn't even go to the bathroom. I was in bed rest the whole time. After the 4 weeks, I went back for a checkup, and they said, it's all well. It's all good. Hallelujah. God is a big God, and I held on to what the prophet said. I went back to work, you guys. I work in a factory. I went back to work, and my doctor, who was a lady doctor at the time, she said, at 37 weeks, we're going to induce you, and you know, the baby will be healthy by then. And yes. And I worked day in and day out, Saturdays, 12 hours a day, on my feet, pregnant. And I had so much energy. Even the people from Orange, like, sit down, you know, because I was an employee development trainer at that time. I was doing orientations of 170 people every day. And I'm walking, and you know, yeah, I was a little bit swollen, you know, but God was good. I had strength. So 37 weeks came, and I went to deliver my baby. And I remember when I first had my first child, like, no, I'm strong. Don't give me no medicine. I don't want no epidural. I'm, you know, 23 years old. No epidural. I'm strong, and I'm going to have this baby the natural way. Man, when I was, like, dilated so many centimeters, I told the nurse, I need an epidural. She's like, you're too late, honey. What? You're too late, honey. Tough it up, buttercup. I'm like, oh, no. So I went through a lot and endured a lot of pain. So for my second one, how many of you know once you've been through it once, you're like, uh-uh, I'm wise. Get me that epidural ASAP, right? So they did an epidural, and the baby's coming, and I don't even know. I was like, oh, it's coming. Oh, okay, it's coming. Let's go, right? And so we went into the delivery room. Tommy was born, a beautiful, healthy baby. They call it, you know, they give them, rate the babies 10 out of 10. Praise the Lord, you know, and they're weighing him and all that. And I'm sitting there in the delivery table, and my knees began and my legs began to shake, like literally shaking. And I'm like, oh, no. And I look at my doctor. She was a lady doctor, and she had this look on her face like, what's happening here? She looks at the nurse, and I'm listening, paying attention, even though all this commotion is going on, and she says to her, get 2 units right away. 2 units of blood. She couldn't stop. I was bleeding internally, and she couldn't stop the bleeding. And she was, you know, doing all she could. When I heard the doctor tell the nurse, get 2 units right away, I knew my life was in danger. And my first response was, Jesus. I cried out to Jesus, and I said, God, help me stop this bleeding. Jesus, help me. I don't know how loud I said it, but I know the doctor heard me. And I don't know if this doctor was a believer or not. Let me say that. We didn't talk about that. But before her very own eyes, the bleeding stopped. The bleeding stopped. And I am here today preaching to you and testifying this message that the Lord spared my child. And me. Two, right? He multiplied the blessings because I could have died in that delivery table. But I cry out to God to help me to stop the bleeding, and he did. So God is good, and he is faithful. He is faithful, and he can change the situation around for you and for your family and for your marriage. Amen. Amen. Hoo-wee. I was like, God, I don't want to cry, but thank you, God. Okay, here we go. So let's keep going to the story, and we're almost done. So just hang in with me for a minute. You all need to stand for a second? No? You're all good? Okay. All right. And again, so he said, four, again, said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and there you shall know that I am the Lord. That day I knew that he is the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to have somebody help me really quick with this little next scripture. I didn't give the boys this earlier because I didn't want them to be rattling, but I brought a little prop here. And in it, I went to Florida last year, and I walked the shores, and I collected all these beautiful seashells. So when I was writing this message, I thought, oh, what can I do to make some rattling noise? And so I remember the seashells. So I'm going to get a couple of the kids here to help me out. So your keyword is rattling. When I say, oh, and then I'm going to have Sister Nita help me too. Come on, Sister Nita. So when I say rattling, you're all going to be rattling those bones, right? Rattling that. Okay, you all ready, right? Let's practice once. Rattling. All right, you're good. Okay, you passed the test. Okay. Okay, so Ezekiel 37, 37:7. It says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. Good job. And the bones came together, bone to bone." She went, one more rattling? Keep on rattling. There you go. All right. And the bones came bone to bone. "Indeed, as I look, the sinuses and the flesh came upon them." Okay, thank you. That's good. It came upon them. Came upon them. That's why I didn't give it earlier, see? Came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So here we have a bunch of bones coming together, rattling, and they're up, right? And there's flesh on them, and there's skin, but there's no breath. There's still no life in them, right? "Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds." We just sang about this. "O breath, and breathe on the slain that they may live." So the breath of God came in this dry bones, these dry, and gave life to the bones. Amen. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purposed and shall succeed in the thing for what it was sent." So the Lord sent his breath, his word, to bring life to this army. Amen. To bring arm to this army. And his breath, the Ruha breath of God, brought life to these bones. The same breath of God can bring life into your circumstance. Amen. "Then the Lord God formed the man." Genesis 2:7. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." This is when God breathed on Adam, right? It's the same breath that God breathed on Adam, the same breath that he breathed on these bones, and they will live. Genesis 1, I mean, the Lord created the world by speaking it for a reason. Because God is almighty and he can do all of it. He don't have to speak it, right? He can just maybe wink his eye or move his finger and he creates everything. But he spoke it into existence to give us that key to know that power is in speaking. There's power of life and death in speaking. And he spoke the word into existence. If we go to Genesis 1, he said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Same Spirit. "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said to the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called it light day, and the darkness he called it night. So evening and morning were the first day." So throughout Genesis 1, God says, let there be. He speaks it, let there be, right? So there's power in what we speak. Creative power, right? We talk about dunamis power that you and I, sons and daughters of the Most High God, have inside of us. Get that revelation. That same breath that spoke the world into existence is in us. The breath of God, right? Dunamis power, the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. It's in you. It's in you. Look to your neighbor and say, it's in you. Are you utilizing it? Are you stepping into its authority and power? Are you using that dunamis power inside of you? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Church, are we believing we have the breath of God inside of us? It's in us. Look to your neighbor and say, it's in you. Start using it. Amen? Start using that power that God gave you, It is in you. Rise up, church. The power of the most living God is living in us, His children, to demonstrate that power in this earth. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Speaking to dead things and bringing them to life. Come on. I don't know anybody in here brought somebody to life. Anybody? Anybody tried? Not even a cat? Oh, Tim. Tim's tried. How'd it go, Tim? Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Come on. Let's come into agreement. Amen. So God spoke this world into existence. That creative power. Amen. So don't settle in the valley of dry bones. We're not going to settle. No, this is the new season. We are coming out. We are coming out of this dry season. We are coming out of this dry valley. And we're going to prophesy the word of the Lord. Not only God can restore a situation, He can bring life into something that is dead. He can restore your marriage and He can make it better than it was before. Amen. He can call your son or daughter to come home. He can give them a Damascus moment, right? He can appear to them and they can have this amazing encounter. That's my prayer for my kids. Lord, give them a supernatural encounter that they know who you are, the mighty God. And they can turn back to you, God. I'm believing that for my family members. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So breathe. The Lord can breathe in your situation. Can restore relationships of people that you haven't talked to, family members you haven't talked to in a long time. He can speak breath into that marriage that you've been longing for, to the kids, to your health, to your finances. Amen. Maybe you'll get that job that was going to pay twice as much with the benefits and all the goodies. He's that good of a God. Amen. Don't think less of it. He can do it all. It's not over yet. Great things are coming. Tell your neighbor, great things are coming. It's not over yet. Your breakthrough is coming. So let's start speaking life and declaring the word of the Lord. Let's start fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Fix your eyes on the truth, on what is truth. Focus on the truth. Amen. The truth is that God is a good God and the devil is a liar. Amen. The truth is that you are a child of the Most High God. The truth is that God is with you and He is for you. The truth is you are the head and not the tail. The truth is you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The truth is that you are more than a conqueror. The truth is, as greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The truth is that you are sealed and seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The truth is, church, that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The truth is that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The truth is that you have not been given the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The truth is that you have been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. The truth is that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The truth is that God will supply every need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The truth is that you have been anointed to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, to cast out demons, to set the captives free, to raise the dead. The truth is, church, that you are confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is the truth, church. That is the truth. So let us begin to speak the truth, to prophesy over a dry bones. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stand with me, church? Let us pray. Let us pray. And just extend your hands to the heavens. This is a posture of adoration to the Lord, a posture of surrender, a posture of receiving from God. And right where you are, I want you to, just between you and the Lord, I want you to prophesy over your dry bones. Whatever situation that you're going through right now, we're going to do it together as a church. Each of you will be individually different because you have different things you prophesy. So we're going to spend like 30 seconds prophesying what the word of the Lord over your situation. So right where you at, just take a minute and prophesy what the Lord has said. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that as for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. Thank you that my sons are serving you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. We declare the word of the Lord over our situations right now. And we speak life over it right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We line up with your word, Lord. We come in alignment to what your word says for our situation, for our valley, Father God. And I speak life, and I speak deliverance, and I speak healing over these dry bones in the name of Jesus. Deliverance come in Jesus' mighty name. Touch the loved ones, visions, dreams. Thank you, God. We speak life. We speak life and declare the word of the Lord over our families, over our marriages, over our children and our future children, over the ministry. We thank you, God. And Father, we ask, Lord, as a church in unity together, that you will breathe your ruha air over the situations and bring life, Father God. We ask that you breathe on these valleys. Bring it to life. Dry bones come alive in the mighty name of Jesus. Dry bones come alive in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for breathing in every situation. It is done. It is finished. We thank you, Lord, and we hold on to your word until we see it come to pass, because your word does not return void, and you're not a God that shall die. So we thank you, God. Right there in the internet land, receive the ruha breath of God over your situation and declare the word of the Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us and directing us. Thank you, Father God, that you put a guard over our mouths and we're only declare what you say, Father God. That no matter what we see, no matter the circumstances, Father God, we decree and declare life, life and more abundant. And we thank you, Jesus, because you already paid for it at the cross in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may have a seat. Hallelujah. I receive that. Woo, I feel it in my bones. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, we believe and we receive, amen, the word of the Lord, and watch it come into pass. I want you guys to start, when things are happening for you, we'll be testifying, amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.